I've got three words for this morning. Unfortunately for some of you, not only three words, but three words which I'm basing things on. And those words are time, mud, and hope. I'm going to start with time. We say things like, it's break time, or it's summertime. What other sort of times? You got any other something time? Yeah, we can get along together. Get along together time. What sort of time? Playtime. That's a good time, isn't it? Tea time. That's also a good one. Any more? One more time at the back there.
Lunchtime.
Okay, they're all food. Time. So anyway, I was going to ask, is time good or bad? It doesn't really, you can't really say that, can you? It depends. 11 o'clock or 4:15, they're just times in the day. They're not good or bad. 2:30, time for the dentist. That's not a good one. Sorry, that's appalling. So anyway, time, time on its own isn't necessarily good or bad, but you might say I'm having a bad time or a good time. It's a great time now. At St. John's, I've seen what they, at St. John's School, if you notice out there, they've got their ribbons of poppies for remembrance. And they were thinking about time when they did that. Or certainly, I heard that they were going to be. I don't know what actually happened. I imagine so. They were going to get long ribbons of about 80 poppies. And that's about how long a life might be for those of us who are going through life expecting it to be 80 poppies in a row. If you're from St. John's, just nod and say, yes, this is roughly right. And then they got these other ribbons, which were only 20 poppies long. And they said that's how old people were, often, who died in the First World War. And what they've got out there in the memorial are poppy ribbons of 20 to remember all those people of that sort of age who died, not able to live that long time of 80 years, but only living a much shorter time of 20 years or so. So they're remembered by us today. Bible passage that Callum read had all sorts of time in it, didn't it? Some people of a certain age will have thought of Bob Dylan. Time for every purpose under heaven. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to cry and a time to laugh. All sorts of times like that. Time to love and to hate. To kill and to heal. A time for war and a time for peace. That's a reading from one of the ancient books in the Bible of poetry. And it's not saying that those times are good or bad, though in some cases it's quite obvious that they are, but it's just saying they're in the mix of life. Life has all these things in them. We just have to deal with that one way or another. And life is like that, isn't it? We don't always know which way things will turn. We might suddenly end up dealing with a hard time, or we might suddenly end up in a great time. We might not be expecting it. And that reading from Ecclesiastes, a great name for a book, it just says, yep, this happens. So time, it's neither good nor bad. Stuff happens. What about mud? Mud happens. Mud happens particularly when it's been raining. I don't know if any of you have got dogs that you take for a walk and the dogs get mud on them. Yeah, we have a dog like that. We have a dog that starts clean and wherever we go for a walk, she gets mud on her. Somehow manages to get on top of her head. She's light coloured as well. So we try and take her to clean places like a grassy field. That'll be wonderful. And she turns out to discover that when it's been raining, there's mud underneath the grass. And she gets there, gets it all over her. So the hose pipe has to come out again. Is mud good or bad? Well, I think if you're a kind of extreme off-roader, you might say mud is good. But for most of us, it isn't good. Rain can be good, which makes the mud. We sometimes desperately need the rain, but we seldom need the mud. If we go back 100 years, some fields in Belgium, and there had been far too much rain during a summertime. And then there was far too much mud. And this is how the Third Battle of Ypres was fought in the First World War. It was fought over land which no longer had any trees or bushes or even grass or anything, because all of it had just become mud and puddles and pools of muddy water. And there were planks for the soldiers to try and walk on between these places. But if you fell in, it could be 10 foot deep of mud and sludge, and people drowned just from falling in off the planks. The plan of that battle had seemed sensible. The British forces were defending a piece of land that jutted out into enemy territory, and they were very exposed, particularly because it was low down. And so they were under fire all the time. And the aim was that during the summer of 1917, they would gain some more ground and get to a higher level. It would all be better then. And the battle started on the 31st of July, but then it started raining, and it rained and it rained and it rained. And the water goes down to the bottom of the land. That's what happens if you're in a dip. And the water all gathered where the British forces were fighting. And there was just mud upon mud upon mud. And the trenches where they had to fight and where they had to live got full of water. And there were 2 feet of water where people were just trying to live as the soldiers there. There was no way of getting dry. And this went on for 3 months. Like more than a whole term of school, it went on like that. The people who were there at the time, they talked about that mud, that it seemed to suck at you. It drew you in. It got all over you. You couldn't get clean from it. And it was only on the 10th of November, which is just 2 days ago, and we've just remembered now, 100 years ago, 2 days ago, that the battle was won by the taking of the village of Passchendaele. And yet, the loss of life that happened there was so huge. The numbers that were wounded were so huge. And history shows that actually the gains made in that battle were not all that great. Such a tough thing for us to think about now. So horrible for those involved. People, and actually also animals, the number of animals that suffered and died in that particular part of the war and throughout the war was huge. 8 million animals in the First World War, horses, were died because of the war. These are the things which we remember so that we can try to make sure that they don't happen again. And that brings us to the third word, which is hope. Is hope good or bad? Hope is surely good. It's not always easy to find hope, though. Hope was very hard to find for the soldiers who were fighting during that Battle of Passchendaele. There was the rain and the mud and the terrible conditions, and they talked about how they almost despaired. It was so difficult. But even so, they urged each other on. They rallied each other. People found the strength. They found the hope somewhere. There may be a time for every activity under heaven, as we heard in our reading, but how do you keep hope going when a whole load of really hard things all come at the same time? We nowadays, fortunately, know nothing of the horrors of Passchendaele. But how do we cope when our lives seem to be like clinging mud? When we fear that one false step will mean that we might sink? When we can't get any rest because we seem to be knee-deep in the mire all the time? Life can be a bit like that in other ways for us now. And there's no easy answer for this. It's a horrible place to be. But I want to talk about 2 things that offer hope. First is pulling together. They often needed to pull together in Passchendaele. They needed to pull each other out of the mud if somebody did slip. They needed to encourage each other to keep moving forward, to keep going, to wake up and face another day. They needed to talk to each other about hope. They pulled together. And we need to pull together. We need each other. There's no shame in asking for help. There can be great blessing in looking out for others who could do with our help. And that comes most naturally to people who are closest to us, our friends and our family. But it's the same thing that can help when a whole community may feel like it might lose hope. There's been a lot of stuff that people in Ripley have been sad about that's been going on this summertime, over this last year. And some of the ways that we look at these things, we could maybe lose hope for the good of our town. But if we pull together, if we support each other, if we put aside the differences of background or politics or jobs or whatever, we can work together to bring hope for our town, to build up our community. And in doing so, we could surely be strong enough together to bring hope for people in our town whose lives seem hopeless and chaotic at present. We can make Ripley a place of hope, even if there may be tough stuff that we need to work through. So pulling together brings hope. And then trusting God brings hope. That's the second thing. God made each of us, and he knows us, and he cares. He cares for each of us. Even if you feel you're sinking in the clinging mud of life, it's still true that God cares. And it's something that many soldiers in Passchendaele would have trusted in, and that would have gained them hope. God was there with them. They knew that, however rough and horrible it was. And God is here in the things of today for us, bringing comfort and courage and answers to our desperate prayers, bringing hope. So pulling together as people brings hope. But living life with God brings so much more hope. The Bible talks about God as being our shepherd, leading us. Or it even talks about him as with us, shoulder to shoulder, in that old image of oxen yoked together. We're side by side with God, taking the weight with us. And if you haven't found out what that is like, then I would encourage you to think more about that. God is so close to each one of us, and he can shoulder things for us. Then there is the ultimate hope. Well, it's stronger than hope, the ultimate destination, really. And that's what we heard in the reading which Sheila read, which is from the very end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. It's a vision of when all things will be put right by God. When the loud shout goes up saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Wow. What a time for us to look forward to. What a hope we have ahead of us. That is the Christian hope that puts everything in perspective. That's what can help us to deal with whatever kind of time it is. That's what can see us through, even if the clinging mud of life seems to be endless. No doubt that's what saw lots of soldiers through Passchendaele, their realisation that beyond this all, God would put everything right. We can find great hope from each other, and our trust in God gives us even firmer hope now. And then in the end, we know that God will set everything right, and that is a hope to live by.